Romans 8, verses 28 through 39. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercessions for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. How about that? Amen. How about that? Amen. For Christ Jesus our Lord. Father, thank you for being Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, the one who died on Calvary's cross and was buried. And most importantly, you finalized everything by rising from the dead. Father, thank you for being Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Amen. What a wonderful text. You may be seated. What a wonderful text. And did you anybody notice how many us's was in that text? Us, 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 us. Christ died for us. Amen. He rose for us. He lived for us. He lived for us. Listen, when we get to verse number 31, and this is where I want to pick it up. I just read all that to sort of run me into my text. But verse 28, we hear it all the time. And we know, okay? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. We can't leave that part out. Okay, because all things don't work together for good for folks that don't love God. But in this text, it's saying all things work together for good for them that love God. Good, bad, and ugly. Good things are going to happen to you as a Christian. Don't let the word of faith people tell you. There's people out there, well, nothing bad ought to happen to you. You know what? Some of our best growth come in bad times. Some of our most difficult times bring our best spiritual growth. Okay? So Paul can say, because he went through some things, and when Rome and the persecutors were after Paul, what was Paul doing all along? Growing, getting stronger. And I always say, you go to the gym, you ain't gonna get strong if you use the same weight all the time. The only way you're gonna get strong, you gotta add weight. You gotta add resistance. And when God wants to make his man strong or his woman strong, sometimes he puts some resistance on us. So we don't understand the resistance all the time. I don't understand why God got his hand on me, trying to make me strong. And it may not be for you. It may be for someone else. Someone else needs to see how the man of God or the woman of God handles resistance. Then he can say, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. But let's get to verse number 31. Because there's five questions. Five wonderful questions that the resurrection answered. Okay, remember the gospel is not complete without the resurrection. Without the resurrection, there's no gospel. There's no Christianity. There's no born-again believers because there's no Jesus in heaven. Jesus still in the grave offers us no hope.
Amen.
Okay? No hope. And that's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15. If Christ not rise, we are men most miserable. We without hope. We might as well shut all the churches down. If Christ hasn't risen, there's no reason for us to have church. Okay? Let's look at these five questions. Starting in verse 31. He says, what shall we say to these things? Here's the first question. If God be for us, how about that? If God be for us, okay? Who can be against us? Hey, that's a great question. If God be for us, who can be against us? It's a simple answer. Nobody. No, not one. Nobody can be against us. Let me tell you something. That's not to say people are not going to come against you. Okay? You know, D.L. Moody said this, and D.L. Moody was a great preacher. You know what he said? He said, I have no greater enemy than my flesh. How about that? Anybody can relate to that?
Amen.
Anybody can relate to that other than me and Justin? Has anybody in here ran into a greater enemy than their own flesh?
Nope.
That makes sense? Margaret, that makes sense? That flesh is a beast, ain't it?
Amen.
It's gonna mess with you. You can stay home. You don't even have to leave the house. You ain't got to go to Walmart to have somebody run the chopper cart up your leg. Or you ain't got to have, I was at Sam's Club yesterday and a buggy just flying through the parking lot. I had to run and get it because I didn't want to hit nobody else's car. And I'm sitting here like, man, life will get at you. Okay? And Paul's not saying that because Christ is for you, who can be against you? Christ can be for you all day. You still going to have battles.
Amen.
Folks still coming at you.
Amen.
Folks still coming at you. That world, the flesh, and the devil. Always going to bother you. But nothing going to bother you more than your own flesh. Okay? Paul says, if God is for us, who is against us? And that's a different kind of if. That word if is certainly, folks will come against you. But guess what? No weapon formed against you shall prosper. When you got that God, when you got the God of the Bible, when you got the right God who was born of a virgin and was crucified and lived a sinless life, was crucified, buried, and resurrection. If that's the God that's for you, nothing can come against you. Death can come, and it's going to come, okay? It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. But death doesn't faze the believer because we know after death, we're going to live a better life, okay? And I always say, if you're living your best life now, you in for a world of hurt. You're in for the world of hurt. Paul would say this in Philippians. Thought it was one fantastic, fantastic verse after fantastic verse after fantastic verse. Paul just wrote a lot of fantastic verses and caused him a lot of problems. But Paul says this, and you get the same idea with the if. He says, for I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Okay? Since God began the work, can anybody stop God's work? Do you think if God began a work in you, that you can stop it? No. You can resist it. But you can't stop it. If God started a work in you, he's going to finish it. And he may have to drag you through some stuff. And he may have to keep battling you. And you want to give up. And you want to quit. And you want to walk away. And you want to backslide. And if God started the work, guess what? He's going to constantly send you some reminders. Okay? Now, if you started it, you can walk away. If you started it, if you decided on your own, okay, I think I'm going to just be a Christian, okay? Then you can decide not to be. But if God said, if God called you and predestinated you and called you and began to work, you in for a battle that may last a really, really long time, okay? But nobody can bring a charge. David was God's man, went through some stuff, should have been stoned, should have been put to death for the sins he committed. But you know what? David would say this. Matthew, he would recognize this because this was his daddy's favorite verse. Him and Justin, y'all gonna know this one when I say it. Because when I read it, I thought about Deacon Nelms. It says Psalms 27:1. He says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." Now, this is what you put on 3 point, three times five card, little card. Write it down because you're going to go through some stuff. Okay? Write it down. One for all of us to write down. Psalms 27:1. I'm going to read 1 through 5, but the one has the meat of it. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Who shall lay a charge against God's elect? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat upon my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Why? Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident." How about that? "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. And in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock." Okay? You know how you get upon that rock? By learning about the things of God. By inquiring in the temple. By spending time in prayer and Bible study and meditating on the things of God. And that's how that rock is formed under him. Let's look at the second question. I could keep going with that one. Let's look at the second question in Romans 8:32. And there's a question mark after each one of these verses. He said, "He that spared not his own son." How about that? John 3:16. "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for," here's our word, "us all." Paul could have said you all. Paul ain't that kind of preacher. He knew he needed a savior just as bad as the people did. Paul needed one probably even more than anybody else, because Paul said, In 1 Timothy 1, "I'm chief. I ain't committed sins you guys ain't even thought about committing." Paul says, "He that spared not his son," second question, "but delivered him up." Okay? What we see? Up from the grave, he arose. You know? Up on the cross, up in the glory. He delivered him up for us all. Listen, tell y'all something. None of us in here will be delivered if Jesus Christ is still in the ground. Okay? Forget it. If Jesus Christ don't rise, we don't have nothing to be in here shouting about. We don't have nothing to be in here praying. We ain't praying to a dead God, okay? We praying to a God that's still in the ground. It wouldn't make no sense. God said in his own word, he delivered him up for us all. And some of you say, "Well, that mean on the tree?" Well, okay, if Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me." Uh-huh. But after they lifted him up, they put it in the ground, so he had to be delivered up. Again, okay? He had to be delivered up twice then. If you want to use the cross, that's fine. Because he had to die before he could have been buried. Okay? But he had to be delivered up before we could be blessed by it. I hope I'm making sense. I'll make it a little. "For he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" How about it? If he gave us his son, okay? Now this ought to make us think before we start asking God for stupid stuff. Because some of us ask God for stupid stuff. Okay? Listen. I'm guilty. God, give me something stupid. Okay? The next thing, you know, Sydney say, hey, the Amazon truck is outside. Listen. Or the UPS truck. Listen. God gave us the most precious thing he had, and that was in his son. So when we start asking God for stuff, think about it. I gave you my son. Mm-hmm. What else could, think about it. You give your son the very, very best you have, and then he asks you for something petty. You know, most of the stuff, when we compare it to the fact that God gave us his son, most of the stuff that we ask for is petty. Amen. Really? I gave you the very best I have. Okay? Hey, listen, Roy, listen. Zaire, I gave you everything. I gave you everything I can give you. Now you ask me. It's like asking for, Dad, you got a 50 cents so I can. What can you even do with 50 cents? And some of our prayers are like asking God 50 cents. And I gave you the greatest gift that a man could ever give. I gave you my son. How about that? That's the second question. He spared not his own son. He gave us his very, very best. He gave us his very, very best. He gave us his greatest treasure in his son. Peter understood that. I would love to meet with Peter, because Peter's praying this, and he's praying it to believers who are going through. And they asked him, you know, you imagine you're going through, you're getting ready to get killed, you're getting persecuted by Rome. Nero was persecuting the Christians. And their prayers had to be, oh, help us, Lord, save us, don't let us die. You know, we're going through. Nero's gonna use us for flower beds at his mansion. And here's what Peter said to these folks. He says this in 1 Peter 1:18. I think this is just incredible. He said, for as much as you know. Now these folks is going through. They being slaughtered. We're not even near what was going on in Nero's day with the Christian believers. Okay? We get upset and we don't get invited to the company Christmas party because we're a Christian. And we think that, oh, they didn't invite me to the company Christmas party because they don't want me to talk about Jesus. And that's all the persecution you're getting, and you might not be getting enough. Watch what Peter says. He said, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things. Let me stop there. Peter said, you were redeemed. And we say in the song, redeemed by the blood. He's saying, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed, God died for you. Not with corruptible things. God wasn't corrupt. He was sinless. He was a lamb. He was spotless. Not like your silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the traditions of your fathers. Okay? He says this. But with the precious blood of Christ. How about that? That's what you were redeemed with. If you're saved in here today, you know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, and you've been saved. You've been redeemed not with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ. As a lamb without blemish, without spot. Jesus was without blemish, without spot. He was perfectly sinless, and God allowed him to die for us. How about that? Galatians, Paul talking to the Galatians who struggle with their faith, who struggle with the idea of going back into idolatry and going back to Judaism. And he's saying this. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Galatians 2:20. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. The believer has been crucified with Christ. That means you understand why Jesus Christ came and died. You know what it means. He says, nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. How about that? Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You know, and again, it's all finalized by the resurrection. He gave himself for us. But if he don't get out of that grave, if he don't get up out of that grave, then all these scriptures mean nothing. Romans 4 and 25. I think Jeremy used this one. This Deacon Jeremy used this one this morning. He was preaching. And he says, now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but here's our word, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Listen, folks, got to believe the resurrection. The resurrection is a picture of God's love. He's on Calvary, he died for our sins, he was buried, and he rose on the third day. Rising on the third day is the biggie. It's the big one. Then I said earlier, he was seen. He had to be seen. Being seen validated everything. Being seen made assured everybody that he truly had rose. Oh. Question number three. I'll get the first two. Question number three. I think this was interesting. Who will bring any charge against God's elect? Verse 33. Who will bring any charge against God's elect? Any of you guys been charged? Absolutely. Absolutely. All day. You know what charges us? I talked about the flesh earlier. You ever had your conscience ever accuse you? Have your conscience ever accused you? Has your conscience ever charged you of a wrongdoing? Absolutely. You know, we do sins of omission and commission. Some sins in our mind we do. Okay? Our conscience accuses us. The devil never ceases. Okay? He's an accuser of the brother. So when Paul said, who will bring any charge against God's elect? Listen, we are constantly being charged. Carnal Christians grumble at you. Anybody ever had a carnal Christian grumble at you? Yeah, because we in this sin, we in this flesh, and folks think because, well, you the pastor, or you a deacon, or you sing in the choir, or you go to church every Wednesday and Sunday, and it's like we perfect. Carnal Christians grumble. The devil never ceases. Our mind, our conscience accuses us. But listen, here's one. We mess up. We blow it. Sometimes we mess up. Okay? We mess up, and sometimes we deserve to be accused. We deserve to be charged, okay? Because we sin. You know, I know that to be true, because the Word of God says, there's none righteous, no, not one. We're going to blow it. I'm going to blow it. Matthew going to blow it. Okay? Toya sitting over there looking so innocent and in her yellow outfit. She gonna blow it. Okay? Because that's what we are. We're not gonna be perfect until we get the glory. Amen. Okay? Who shall lay anything to charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Now that's interesting. They can charge us all at once. They can charge. Guess what? Man didn't justify you. God did. Okay? And you know what? Your charges got to go through is they got to go through the Lord. They got to go through the Lord. You can charge me all you want. Guess what? God, when God saved me, he forgave me for the sins in the past, present, and the future. Okay? So I ain't worried about it. We going to do stuff. We going to blow it. Christians going to get after us. The devil never ceases. And our own conscience. Listen, there are no shortages of folks that want to charge you. Okay? There ain't no shortages. But let me give you this great verse. If I have it. It might be in my next point. But here's 2 Corinthians 5:21. When you think about it, when somebody charges you, somebody say, you know what, you shouldn't have done that. You call yourself a Christian. I hear it probably more than anybody, but you all should hear it.
Amen.
Listen. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Here's what Paul said again. He said, for he have made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. God knew no sin. He was made sin for who? For us who knew no sin. God didn't know no sin. That he might be made the righteousness of God in him. When God saved us, he filled us with his presence. He filled us with his holiness and his spirit. And when we sin, guess what we can do? We can take it right to God. Y'all know the verse I use all the time. For if we confess our sins, he's what? He's faithful. That's one of the great names of God. One of God's great names. He's faithful. He's faithful and just to do what? To forgive us of our sin. He's faithful and just. What kind of God is that? What kind of God is that? Now, we may be called, well, he's a faithful man, you know, but I don't think anybody, well, he's faithful and just. Somebody start putting those type of accolades on somebody, you got to be careful, okay? Start working away from that situation. So we can be faithful for a couple weeks, then we're going to fall. Then we can be faithful again, and we can fall because we're going to take our sins to the Lord. But to be faithful and just constantly, be careful. Let's look at this, the fourth one. Here's the one I really like. Who shall condemn us? That's what Paul's going down this alley. Who shall condemn us? Why? Because I died for your sins. Not only did I die for your sins, I was buried. Not only was I buried, and I was buried for 3 days for a reason. So y'all wouldn't have no doubt. I wasn't playing. I wasn't soul sleep. And I wasn't unconscious and all that. Now I was dead in the grave for 3 days, and I rose. And how did I rise? With all power. And if that person, if that's your God that did all that, who shall condemn you? Who shall condemn you? Listen, Romans 8:34. I think I need to read the whole verse. It says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also make intercession for us, the only one who has the right to condemn us is Jesus Christ. Okay? Where's Jesus at right now? He's in heaven, sitting at the right hand of God, doing what? Doing what? Making intercessions for us. For what? For stuff we didn't done. Okay? Stuff that we didn't done, stuff that we are doing. He's a mediator. Okay? He's a mediator, you know? And in the job I work, we got a union and everything, and you do something crazy, you know, you can go to the media. Oh, you gotta go to mediation. And then you know you got a man sitting there and he's trying to work it out with the supervisor and the union person. And he's a mediator. Then the kind of God, the mediator God is, okay? And I think about that happening. Now people come to me, oh, I got to go see a mediator. Listen. There's only one mediator you need to see, okay? 1 Timothy 2:5 said, there's one God, okay? One God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So and he says, you're in mediation, and if you're a child of God, God gonna convict you. You need to fess up. Just fess up. Listen, as I keep going here with this, who shall condemn us? Here's the problem when somebody try to condemn the child of God. And people are gonna try to condemn you. Have to. You're a child of God. 1 John 2 says this. I think this is interesting. Because we got an advocate too. And our advocate rose from the grave. How many of y'all know your advocate rose from the grave? Your advocate's still not in the grave. Your advocate rose from the grave. So when you see Jesus Christ, when I was doing this sermon, when every time I seen Jesus Christ, I put an R next to it. Every time I seen Jesus Christ, I put an R next to it. Why? Because he rose. He rose. Every time I see Jesus Christ now, every time I read it in the Bible, Jesus Christ. And, you know, most of us say, well, he died on the cross. How many ever really associated Jesus Christ with the resurrection like that? We think about, well, he died on the cross. And that's important. Don't get me wrong. I'm not downplaying the fact that he died on the cross. But bigger than him dying on the cross is the fact that he rose from the grave. So now when I think of Jesus Christ, and I, like I said, Jesus Christ is not his last name. Okay? Amen. Jesus is his name. But Christ means he's a savior of the world, and he could save nobody if he was still in the grave. So when I see Jesus Christ, first thing I think, Jesus Christ resurrection. Okay, so now when I look at 1 John 2:1, he said, my little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. God don't want us to sin. God doesn't want us to sin. But guess what? Here we are. We're going to sin. Why? Because when Adam and Eve was in the garden, eating on that stuff they wasn't supposed to eat, eating off that tree they wasn't supposed to eat off, they introduced sin into the world. They introduced sin into the world. Okay? And what did God have to do? He had to kill something. He had to cover their sins with blood, so he had to kill something. And that was the first murder, when God killed an animal to cover Adam and Eve's sin. Okay? Now, what did Jesus have to do to cover ours? He had to be murdered. Because is he crucified? It's the same thing. They murdered him. And God allowed his son to be murdered to cover our sins. Okay? Sins past, present, and the ones you're going to commit tomorrow. Okay? Not that we plan on it. Nobody wake up, well, you know, I got all the sins I'm going to do today. That's not how it goes. Okay? But you're going to say something, you're going to do something, you're going to sin. Because we live in sin. But here's the beauty of it all. And here's, and like I said last week, here's what the Easter Bunny not going to tell you. The Easter Bunny not going to tell you this. Okay? They need to cover the Easter is about Easter eggs and Easter bunnies and Easter baskets and chocolates. And that's all fine. Don't get me wrong. I love chocolate. I love jelly beans. Y'all know I love it. But here's the beauty of Easter. Right here in 1 John 2:1. My little children, that's us. These things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, and we will, here's John saying this, we have an advocate with the Father. He's with the Father. Mm-hmm. Imagine you going to court and the judge is God and your lawyer is the judge's son. And when they bring the charges against you, what did Jesus say? Covered all them with the blood. All his sins is covered. You're going to stand before God like you've never, ever sinned. Amen. Now, it may not happen on an earthly court system. You may get indicted and put in jail. But in a heavenly courtroom, when you stand before God as one who has accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have confessed with your mouth and believed in your heart that Jesus died and rose again. Now you got an advocate with the Father. Name Jesus Christ, the righteous. I like that. Jesus Christ, the righteous. Attorney, Jesus Christ, the righteous. What did he do? And he is the propitiation for our sins. How about that? He covered them. He covered them. The guy representing you in court died for your sins. Okay? And was sent to this earth to die for your sins by the judge. I like that. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Okay? The whole world. The whole world of believers, not the whole world of folks that don't believe. Okay? Folks that don't believe, they're going to stand before the Lord. They're going to be judged for their sins. But those of us who have accepted Jesus Christ and his work on Calvary and his death, burial, and resurrection, we know that our sins have been covered. That big word I use, propitiation, means the smoothing out or the covering of our sins. Covering of our sins. Here's the last one. See, guys, I'm not going to be as long as Deacon Jeremy was this morning. And he said he had 5 more points. We still been in the fellowship hall eating bacon. If I'd have let him go, I was kicking him. While he was up here, I was kicking him. Okay, here's the last point. And this is a fantastic one. Okay? Who shall separate us from Christ's love for us? Who shall separate us from Christ's love for us? Who? You look around. Nobody. Nobody can separate the man of God, the woman of God, from the love of God. Nobody. Nothing. Here's John. Here's John talking about the same text. And I got one or two texts and I'm close. He said, my sheep hear my voice. John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice. And I know them. That word know me, and I have a relationship with them. Amen. There's intimacy with them. I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them, here's our word, eternal life. And they shall never perish. How about that? And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Okay? I mean, are y'all getting that? And if God has given you eternal life, they shall never perish. Well, you know, people say, well, you know, God gave them eternal life. They live like food. They did this, they did. That's none of our business. That's none of our business. Okay? And now I hear people say, there's going to be a whole lot of folks that have you never thought they'd be there. And there's going to be a whole lot of folks don't get there that you thought would be there. But it says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. And they follow me. Okay? And you won't know if that's a sheep or not, but they follow God. Okay? But even God's sheep sometimes get off the beaten path. And that's why that shepherd had a rod and a staff. Okay? And sometimes when we get off the beaten path, God puts that rod and that staff on us, and we know what it feels like. All of us in here have been hit with God's rod and staff, and some of us being hit as we speak. Okay? And God's rod and staff ain't designed to hurt you. It's designed to get you back into back in line. That's a good way to put it. Get you back with the flock. Get you back with the flock. Because see, sheep don't have sharp teeth. Sheep don't have claws. Okay? Sheep ain't fast. Okay? Sheep, I don't like to say they dumb animals, but sheep can't defend themselves. They need a shepherd. Okay? And some of us get wore out when we get away from the shepherd. We get wore out. Our relationships get wore out. Our personal lives get wore out because we need a shepherd. We need a shepherd. And look at verse 29. It says, my father which gave them. Now remember, he just said nobody's going to pluck them out of my hand. But in verse 29, he said, my father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my father's hand, and I and my father are one.
Amen.
You know that one never popular? You know, people like to believe, well, you know what? Ain't no way that person can be saved. Well, let me tell you, you don't know. Okay? And from the outside looking in, you never would have thought David was saved. Folks say, I don't know about David. Well, you know, he committed adultery. Oh, he murdered a man. Oh, he did all this. But David, God said, David was a man after my own heart. God loved David. God loved David. But you know what made God love David the most? When David sinned, you know what David did? He went to God with it. He confessed that thing and went to God with it. You know what? He got right with God. And that's what all God could ask of a man, because all of us going to fall short. There's none righteous, no, not one. Listen. David, Paul gives a list of things that we go through, constantly. This is constant. This is constant. This is in the present tense. This is happening now. When he says, who will separate us from the love of God? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril of the sword? He's talking about stuff that we deal with on a day-to-day basis. Okay? From the youngest in here to the oldest. Some of our young people are going through so much depression and bullying and all that kind of stuff going on in their world. Some of our young people are really struggling. Listen, tribulation. Let me go one by one. Tribulation. He says, who will separate us from the love of God? Tribulation, misfortune, trial, suffering, pain, difficulty, depression, despair, agony, unhappiness, sadness. Did I touch everybody yet? Can that separate you from the love of God? No. What about distress? Distress defined as a hardship. Outward affliction plus inner stress. Some of us going through stuff. Inside and out, we dealing with stuff. Can that separate you from the love of God? Distress? Worrying? Agony? Concern? Did I do the right thing? Did I say the right thing? What should I do? Can it separate you from the love of God? No. You're going to go through some distress. Listen. Jesus knew that you were going to go through some stress. He knew that this world was going to be overwhelming at times. And sometimes it's overwhelming. Sometimes you go to the doctor and he tell you something, you be like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, sometimes you're at the hospital bed, you praying for your loved ones, or you at a funeral, you done buried somebody you love, or you know somebody going through something, and it's just can be overwhelming. But then what Jesus said. Let me say what David said first, and it's the two to say. David said this when he was going through. David was going through. He had family problems. He had all kind of problems. Greatest king ever had all kind of problems. You know what David said? Psalms 55:22. He said, cast thy burden upon the Lord. Can you see why God loved David? When David was down and out, somebody would come to David and say, David, how did you make it through all that? How did you handle all that? You went through all that. How did you handle all that? Cast thy burden upon the Lord. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. And he shall what? Sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. How about that? That's a great text. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Jesus put it like this. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know what he's saying? He said, I will give you rest in exchange for your mess. Okay? You give me your mess, and I'll give you my rest. What a great exchange. What a great exchange. Jesus said, give me your mess, and I'll give you my rest. Why? Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Why? For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. Why? For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Here's another one he says. Not only distress and not only tribulation, but persecution. Persecution. Let me talk about persecution. Persecution. Let me give you the dictionary version of persecution. Persecution. A systematic mistreatment of an individual or group by another individual or group. The most common forms are religious persecution, racism, and political persecution. Listen, persecution is like being hunted down. Paul knew what he's talking about. Everywhere Paul went, he was hunted down. Everywhere he went, he was hunted down. You ever felt like that? You ever felt like that? You ever felt like you've been hunted down? Every time you turn around, something happened. Got an accident. You ran into this. Got an accident. Baby sick. Dog sick, cat sick, grandma sick, something happening. You're like, man, when is it going to stop? Amen. You ever been like that? I know some of you have. Amen. And just keep coming. And it feel like somebody after you. Like, what have I done to deserve this? Maybe God getting ready to use you to do something great. Amen. Okay? See, sometimes we some folks will take their persecutions and their distress and their tribulation, and they'll just fold up like a tent and just sit in the corner and just be depressed. Spend a lifetime of depression. Instead of using all that God has allowed you, giving you the strength to deal with, and use it to help people. Help people. Let God use you. And God can't use you unless he breaks you. A lot of folks trying to be used. I listen to them. They so condemning. So condemning. You know, I used to listen to the officers and the prison, and they just talk about this. Well, you know, he did this and he ain't no good. Listen, let me tell you something. Outside of God, even with God, you can do some stuff.
Amen.
Okay? It's the arrogant man or woman who think that there's a sin that they can't commit. Okay? I just don't think that whoever shot that girl riding down the street last week was planning on doing that. I don't think they woke up in the morning and said, well, you know, today I'm going to ride down the street and the first person just I see talking on their cell phone going 10 miles on the speed limit, I'm going to shoot. And I don't know if that was the circumstance. I'm just saying, folks don't always plan what they do. Sometimes you just get caught up. Persecution. Famine. He's famine and nakedness. What shall separate us from the love of God? Persecution? No. Famine? No. No. Nakedness? No. Peril? I like this one. Peril. What's that mean? Dangers. Dangers of any sort. We run into all kinds of dangers, but you know what? When you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins and rose from the grave, guess what? You can't walk. You can't live your life defeated when you serve a risen Savior. And being risen mean a victorious Savior. Paul writing in 2 Corinthians, he just went through. Over and over and over he went through. And again, in the end, got his head cut off. Not until he wrote all these books. Not until he finished all God's work did God allow him to be killed. So, in conclusion, chapter 8 of Romans in verse 37. You guys heard this before. Paul says this. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. let me. Amen. Paul uses the word conquerors. That means a champion. But he puts a word before. He said we're more than conquerors. Now, March is over. And most of us sports fans are here. Some of us in here are sports fans. Some of you women, if just ask somebody after church what March Madness is. Everybody should know what March Madness is. We like March Madness. Sports people like March Madness because the games go down to the last shot and the last wire and down to the wire. And you sit there and glued to your seat. The women's NCAA, both Final Four games went in overtime. But that never happened before. People are hold on to the last shot. Let me tell you something, folks. What Jesus says here, when he says you're more than conquerors than him to love you, it ain't even close. Okay? It ain't even close. Your opponent not even going to get a shot off. Okay? It's not even close. Why? Because of what Jesus did. What Jesus did when he rose from the grave made us more than conquerors through him that loved us. There's no March Madness in the life of a believer, okay? Your opponent is not going to have a ball with 2 seconds left on the clock and a chance to knock you out. That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. You know why? Because we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. That loved us. You know why? Here's what happened when Jesus died. In 1 Corinthians 15, and I promise this is the last verse. He says this. Uh-oh. And go back on that promise. One verse. 1 John 4:4. Watch this now. Watch this. This is who you are, folks. And if it's not who you are, this is who you should strive to be. John is saying, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Overcome who? All your adversaries, all your enemies, all your opponents. Why? How? Because greater is he that is in you. See, when you become a Christian, God's spirit becomes you. You get the spirit of God in you, and that spirit is designed to go to war and to go to battle. Okay? And the biggest battle all of us are going to face, the biggest battle the world's facing, this is why we see, you go up to Cleveland Clinic, and it's just an enormous, enormous place. I mean, you can just walk for miles and miles, seem like it. And you know what it's designed to do? Add 5 years of somebody's life, 10 years of somebody's life, maybe get 20. But in the end, you know what? It can't stop you from dying, okay? And that's a whole lot. You ride by a hospital, you ride by it, and then all these people, they come up with all this stuff. They put in artificial lungs. The boy who killed himself up in Stark County at the school, friend of mine's son that I work with, they took all his body parts. Heart, they took his livers, they took his kidneys, they took his lungs. And they wanted to take his eyes. The mother wouldn't allow him. She said, I can't give him your eyes. I can't give his eyes up. Okay? Then all these people that got these body parts were writing letters to her, thanking them because their kids were surviving. How about that? How about that? And you know what? And my point, whoever got them parts, they may live 50 years because they're kids, you know. But in the end, we all gotta ante up. We all gotta ante up. But when Jesus rose from the grave, he took the power of the grave. He took the power out of the grave. Look what he says in 1 Corinthians 15. He said, oh death, where's thy sting? Oh grave, where's thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ, through the resurrection. Not through him dying, not through him being buried, but the victory came when he rose from the grave. Therefore, my beloved brother, and those of you who know the Lord, love him and trust in him, therefore, my beloved brother, be steadfast, unmovable. You know, reason to move. You know, there's no other God to look at. There's no other place to go. You have a God that has died and taken the sting out of death. Where would you leave? Be unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. It's not in vain. It's not in vain. You're a super conqueror. You're a super conqueror. You're a super conqueror. Paul goes on to say, I'm fully persuaded, and I hope you are too, because this is a great day. Greatest day known to man. Father, we thank you for this great day. We thank you, Father God, for this great day. The greatest day in the history of the world. The day that Jesus Christ died for the sins of the, rose from the grave.